Bueno,
Honorable Matumba, how are you, my leader?
Honorable Mlenzana, ngiyabona akakuva uComrade Matumba.
Okay, no, I see now. He came in only through the video. He may not be hearing what we are saying. I can see now.
And akuva ke wena ohloniphekileyo.
Good morning, once more, honorable members. Probably he's still in the caucus. You know, you wouldn't want disturbance.
Hello, Chair.
Honorable members, I was just trying to get a good spot. Yes, I'm here. Let me welcome you once more. We agreed earlier on that we will resume at 11:30. I just want to check with the staff that all members present and we form a quorum. So that
Hello,
we
Chair. We do have a quorum, Chair, but I was I'm requesting that we give Advocate Gasboto just a moment for him to come in.
Oh, yes. No, there's no problem. Let's wait a bit and you will give us an indication. Advocate Gasboto. All right.
Mr. Ngaleka, is it unparliamentary for me to say the chairperson today is very bright? You can see her. She's very bright and lively.
Is it unparliamentary for me? It's definitely unparliamentary. You're not supposed to comment on the member's appearance.
That has to be referred to the committee. I don't know if it's ethics or this one. We'll have to decide.
I withdraw. Unfortunately, I withdraw.
Directly to powers and privileges. No ethics here. Powers.
I Honorable Mlanzana, you have defeated me. I was saying to chair, and then I'm ready to prepare charges.
Hello, Chair. We are ready to go.
All right. Good morning once more, honorable members, the legal teams, our affected members and the staff for this committee. We welcome everybody also who's following this committee on various platforms. Honorable members,
recording in progress.
To resume again with the hearings that we started on the 15th January 2024. But let me also appreciate earlier on when we briefly met that we allowed honorable members to attend their caucus of different political parties as a show of respect to those who has sent us here. And I hope some of the members who are still concluding in that regard will join us. May we then resume, honorable members, as I check for any apologies from the staff.
We don't have apologies, Chair.
Thank you. In the absence of any apologies, honorable members, today we intend to cover the following areas, that is closing arguments by the initiator and the legal team of the affected members, deliberations on the evidence presented on the findings. We'll also check if there's no finding of guilt, then that will be the end of the matter. If, however, there's a finding of guilt, then we will proceed to hearing arguments in mitigation and aggravation and proposed penalties and at the end, decisions on appropriate penalties. I would now request honorable members, as I call on the initiator to make her closing arguments, indicate that she has 45 minutes and we will not take a tea break. You usually take tea break at this point in time. So those who want to do that, just silently so that we cover on our lost time this morning. Initiator, you have 45 minutes and let me request the staff to assist us in tracking the time. Advocate Magona.
Thank you, Chairperson. Might I just correct the Chairperson should have earlier on. It is Advocate Magona Dano, for the record.
My apologies, Advocate Magona Dano. Thank
That's
you.
Correct, Chairperson. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair. The members are charged in terms of the powers, privileges, and immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act of 2004. In that, in particular, they contravene the section 13C and 13D1 thereof. You'd recall, honorable committee members, that section 13 really deals with when a member is guilty of contempt of Parliament. I will read just for the record and to refresh our memory what it stipulates. And A, it states that when a member contravenes section 7, 8, 10, 19, 21, 1, or 26 of the Act, commits an act mentioned in section 17L, A, B, or C, or 2A, B, C, D, or E. C, willfully fails or refuses to obey a rule or an order or resolution of a House or the Houses, or commits an act which is in terms of the standing rules, constitute contempt of Parliament or a breach or abuse of parliamentary privilege. My emphasis will be on the latter two I've read, that is subparagraph C and D, because this is the common thread in all the contemptuous misconduct that is alleged against the members. Honorable committee members, the details of each conduct relates to each member is as detailed in the charge sheet, with some having committed such offences over 9 and 10 June 2022, and others on just one of these dates. And to refresh your memory with regard to the dates, it is Honorable Matumba, one of the affected members. I'm listing now the affected members. Honorable Matumba is charged for both 9 and 10 June 2022. Honorable Mafanya for 9 June 2022. Honorable Ntlangwini, 9 and 10 June 2022. Honorable Matulelwa, 9 and 10 June 2022. Honorable Marae on 10 June 2022. Honorable Chirwa, 10 June 2022. Honorable Tambo, 10 June 2022. And Honorable Montwedi, 10 June 2022. Honorable Yago for 10 June 2022. We also had Honorable Mkondo, but the initiator's case is no longer proceeding with the charges against her. So we are left with merely the 9 affected members. Before getting to the detail of their plea, the Honourable Committee members will recall that the members pleaded not guilty to the charges against them, and there was no plea explanation that was given by them. The initiator then called its first witness, who was Mr. Pastor, who summarized for the committee, testifying about his role and what he knew about the incidents that took place on 9 and 10 June 2022. Honorable committee members will also recall there was video evidence that was utilized by the initiator as part of its evidence before the committee. Further, we filed affidavit evidence, I'll call it that, to support the technical part of the evidence, as well as one member of the PBS, female member, who was involved or took part in the removals of some of the female members between 9 and 10 June. So that's the evidence that was presented basically by the initiator before the committee. I will quickly summarize Mr. Paso's testimony just to refresh our memory, where he testified that he's employed as a secretary of the National Assembly, it gave us his duties, that he's a secretary to parliament and to assist other secretary to parliament, and that his responsibility overall as the management of the parliamentary service and specifically takes charge of management of the National Assembly. And he continued to state that he was present during the sitting of the National Assembly on the budget vote 1 on 9th and the reply thereto on the 10th of June 2022. And that the order of those proceedings was decided on by the programming committee. And that is a standard procedure. He also took us through the procedure that followed after the incidents. There is a specific procedure that must be followed where the speaker must file her report. The report's for due to both dates. There's a subcommittee that must sit and deliberate on the matter. Then it can be decided. It went to the Rules Committee and then ultimately to the Powers and Privileges Committee to look into the report and whether any action should be taken or not. We are here today to now decide on the what was then found to be misconduct, contemptuous conduct by the affected members. He continues now in his testimony to state what took place on the day. He confirmed the evidence that was presented before the committee via video evidence. He started with regards to the 9th. And in summary, the members made unsupported allegations against the president from the 9th. And in terms of Rule 92, where points of order were raised, the speaker made ruling or orders to preserve order within the House. But there certainly was a flagrant disregard of the rules by the affected members. And so
Sorry, Advocate Magona Dona. Dano, please continue.
Thank you, Chair. I'll repeat just this paragraph. He stated that there were unsupported allegations that were made against the president, and in terms of Rule 92, where points of order were raised, the speaker made ruling or orders to preserve order within the House. And in his view, there was certainly a flagrant disregard of the rules by the affected members. In so doing, they were breaching the rules of the of Parliament. That the decisions made by the Speaker were discretionary. It was not his duty to tell her what to decide on or what he ought to have decided on, but he was there to simply advise her on any rules that were contravened. Before I move, honourable committee members, to summarise in essence what the charges are that he took us through were committed by the various members, I wish to state that he also indicated that the Sergeant-at-Arms powers are as contained in Rule 61. He clarified that he does not act out of his own to remove any member within the House, but must be instructed by the Speaker in this instance. I'll get back to this point because it is relevant to the evidence that was placed before the Honourable Committee members. I turn now to perhaps remind the Honourable Members what were the various charges that he confirmed and testified on as he watched the video footage that was presented before the committee. The committee will recall my learned colleague then, that was Advocate Tanya Golden, SC, went through the evidence thoroughly. We spent a lot of time to refresh our memory about what took place on these days. I'll start with Honourable Zangwini. The Honourable Members will recall that the charge was that related to contravening of Section 7A of the Act, which is again the Powers, the Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislature Act 4 of 2004. The contravention was that of 7A, which is obviously all these, if I can just put it maybe as an umbrella, all the conducts were in contravention in the main for contemptuous conduct in terms of Section 13C and 13D1. Should I not read those two? They do apply to all of them. But in particular, I go to the details of what each member had done that has led to their charges. So again, on Honorable Ngangwini, on the 9th of June, was that Honorable Ngangwini contravened Section 7A of the Act when during the proceedings, Honorable Ngangwini willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69D when the member called the president a money launderer and accused him of criminal conduct. And this disrupted the proceedings of the National Assembly and improperly interfered with the performance by the House of his authority and functions. That was charge one. Charge two related to, again, contravention of 7A by willfully refusing or failing to obey Rule 69C of the rules when Honorable Ngangwini repeatedly undermined the authority of the presiding officer by repeatedly refusing to obey the rulings made by her and disrespected and interrupted the presiding officer when she requested her to withdraw the improper statements she made about the president, and that the conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance by the House of its authority. The third charge, this is still on the 9th, was the contravention of Rule 7A and failed to obey Rule 73(1) as well when she refused to leave the chamber when ordered to do so by the presiding officer, creating disorder and disruption in the House. Charge 4 related to, again, contravention of Section 7A by willfully refusing or failing to obey Rule 69F of the rules when she acted in a manner seriously detrimental to the dignity, decorum, and orderly procedure of the House. Again, the conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance by the House of its authority and functions. Charge 5, again, in contravention of Section 7A, when she willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 70 and Rule 73(1) and 2, when she failed to respect the authority of the presiding officer, when she ordered that she must leave the chamber. She refused to do so. Sergeant-at-Arms had to be asked to remove her. Was requested to to remove her, yes, and that her conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance by the House of its authority and functions. Again, you will recall, as in my address, I stipulated that Honorable Ndlangwini had committed the contemptuous misconduct, rather, on both dates. To save time, on the 10th, her conduct was, that was in terms, again, contravening Section 7A, she willfully refused again or failed to obey Rule 69A when she deliberately created serious disorder and disruption in the House, and that her conduct disrupted the proceedings of the National Assembly and improperly interfered with the performance by the House. Charge 2, she willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69C when she repeatedly undermined the authority of the presiding officer and repeatedly refused to obey the rulings of the presiding officer. Charge 3, that she willfully refused or failed to obey 69F when she acted in a manner that was seriously detrimental to the dignity, decorum, and orderly procedure of the House. 4, she willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 71 and 2 when she disrespected the authority of the presiding officer. When she asked her to leave the House again, she refused to do so, and that her conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance of the House of the and its authority. And lastly, on charge 5, on the 10th, the Honorable Member, during the sitting of the National Assembly, she willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 73.1 and 2 when she refused to leave the House when the Sergeant at Arms requested her to leave, that her conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance by the House of its authority and functions. Honorable committee members, I will quickly move to Honorable Matumba. We will recall the charges against the member related to 9 and 10 June. And those on the 9th stipulated as follows, that he willfully refused and failed to obey Rule 69A of the Rules of the National Assembly when he deliberately created serious disorder or disruption in the House, that his conduct interfered with the work of the National Assembly and prevented the performance by the House of the authority and functions and its functions. Perhaps I should just add, so that I don't repeat myself, you will recall, Honorable Members, that this is where Honorable Matumba was calling the President a low money launderer of 60 million rand on his farm, and that that would be at page 264 to 265. Members were asked to desist. This at the same time when also Honorable Ndlangwini was involved, calling the President also a money launderer and a criminal. Both of them were acting simultaneously at the time, speaking and shouting back at the speaker. This is between page 261 to 200 and up to 272 when the actual removal took place. Perhaps the members should make note. So Honorable Matumba then proceeded on charge 2 of all these on the relevant pages I've just cited, disregarded the authority of the presiding officer and repeatedly refused to obey her rulings. You'll recall, Honorable committee members, there was a ruling already that there is a specific agenda that was set for that sitting, and it did not involve any criminality or criminal elements or any charges that any member which was within the House had faced or that each member wanted to bring against them. There was a set agenda which was supposed to be dealt with, and that was a budget vote, as well as a reply thereto. So on the 10th, on the 9th, he disregarded the authority of the presiding officer and repeatedly refused to obey the rulings. One of the rulings was for him to desist, and then was asked to leave. Charge 3, contravened Section 7A, further contravened the 69F. He behaved in a manner which was detrimental to the dignity, decorum, and orderly procedure. You recall, Honorable Members, this was not an easy removal. There was a lot of commotion and also speaking back at the speaker whilst she was also trying to be in control of the circumstances at the time. On the 10th of June, the Honorable Member Matumba also continued to willfully refuse or fail to obey Rule 92689 when refusing to accept the ruling of the presiding officer that no points of order may be raised. He deliberately continued to disrupt the proceedings of the House by raising points of order that do not comply with that his conduct disrupted the proceedings. Further, Charge 2 on the 10th, he willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69A of the rules when he deliberately created serious disorder and disruption of the House when he refused to obey and respect the authority of the presiding office. This was similar incidents, my honorable committee members, that the order is made or ruling is made by the speaker, but which was disobeyed. His conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance by the House of its authority and functions. Charge 3, he also willfully refused and failed to obey Rule 69B when he physically intervened and physically prevented or obstructed or hindered the removal from the House after the presiding officer ruled that he must leave the House. He physically pushed the sergeant at arms away when he approached him to leave the House. You remember all of this was played out on the video evidence, honorable members. Charge 4, he also willfully refused or failed to obey 69C when he repeatedly undermined the authority of the presiding officer and repeatedly refused to obey the rulings of the presiding officer. Charge 5, he also willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69F when he behaved in a manner which was drastically detrimental to the dignity, decorum, and orderly procedure of the House. His conduct, looked at cumulatively, caused a lot of commotion, as I indicated, disturbed or interfered with the agenda of the day, and the House could not proceed with what was set for the day. That is Charge 5 against him. Honorable members, as I'm going speedily, you'll recall also Honorable Mafanya. I've indicated in my address, the charge is only on the 9th of June, which also stipulates that Honorable Mafanya refused to obey Rule 92.8 and 9 of the Rules of the National Assembly when he continuously proceeded to raise a point of order when the presiding officer ruled that no member may raise a point of order again until the president had delivered his budget speech. You'll remember, honorable members, this takes place between page, I'll say, 259 of the unrevised Hansard to up to 291 when honorable member is asked to leave. The disrespect that is shown, accusations to the president of criminality, and that is a case opened against the president, speaking over the speaker at the same time, disrespectful to the order of the day, and did not want to listen to the ruling that was made by the speaker that he must leave, and he had to be removed. Sorry, just to repeat that, rather, there was a ruling as well made that there were some members who were moved from the virtual platform. The honorable member then challenged that removal in the House, which is something that is not supposed to be done, or it's not supposed to be done in such a fashion. This is 9 June. Further on Charge 2, on the same day, honorable member willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69A of the rules when he repeatedly created serious dissent disruption in the House when refused to obey the authority of the presiding officer when she ruled on the points of order, as I've just summarized what the honorable member had done. Charge 3 as well, the honorable member willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69C when the member repeatedly undermined the authority of the presiding officer. This summarizes exactly what I've just read and his actions at the time. Lastly, on Charge 4, this is still on the 9th of June, the honorable member willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69F when the member behaved in a manner which was seriously detrimental to the dignity, decorum, or orderly procedure of the House, and the conduct improperly interfered with the exercise of performance by the House. That is with regard to Honorable Mafanya. Honorable members, the other members with Honorable Matulelwa, if I can move to Honorable Matulelwa. Charged for now, also on the 9th and 10th June. This is the last member who was charged on the 9th and 10th June. The other members were charged just for the charge for the incident of the 10th of June. 9th and 10th June, the Honorable Member, it is charged with that the member rather willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 92.8 and 9 of the rules of the National Assembly rules and continued to raise a point of order despite the fact that the presiding officer had ruled on the matter. Mm-hmm. you would recall this. Honorable committee members, you recall this dealt with the muting of members and the ruling that was made by the speaker that there would be no more points of order that will be taken. So the member also interfered with that because the member continued to raise points of order and speaking over the speaker. The charge two on the ninth still willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69D of the Rules of National Assembly when the member made serious allegations against the president by calling him a criminal without adequate substantiation or following the correct procedure. Charge three, the member willfully refused or failed to obey Rule 69C when the member repeatedly undermined the authority of the presiding officer and repeatedly refused to obey the ruling of the presiding officer when she instructed the member to withdraw the statement that the president was a criminal. You will remember the member refused this. You'll find in page 328 of the Hansard record and so forth. The member refused and the member was asked to leave and refused to leave, but proceeded making the disparaging remarks against the president. Charge four, the member... Yes,
Advocate, ma'am. Sorry to interrupt you. Is it possible to summarize, not repeat all the charges? You have 20 minutes left to do your closing remarks. Is it possible you summarize the charges so that you are on time for your closing remarks?
I will attempt to do that. thank you for bringing the issue of time to my attention. In essence, perhaps I should state as follows. All the members, including Honorable Murray, Honorable Chirwa, Honorable Tambo, Honorable Montwedi, Honorable Yako, these are the members who con- Sorry, Chair, I think someone's mic is on and... All right. All
can
others
mute? Okay. It's only me and you now.
Continue. All right. Thank you, Chair. All the honorable members were charged, and Mr. Tlaso confirmed before the honorable committee members the exact misconduct, pointed us on the video evidence, and at times would take us through the Hansard record, which we're trying to do now, but I think to save time, and where they had actually contravened these charges. So Mr. Tlaso's evidence related to that. Mr. Tlaso assisted the honorable committee members in taking us through also the various provisions of the rules that were contravened and where he felt that the orders or rulings made by the speaker to him, they were deserving, and any discretion that was taken by the speaker, he did not challenge or rather question because he had no power to do that. All he did was to advise the speaker. I will not take the committee to the various subsections or other rules. They are on the record. Further, the honorable member, Mr. Castle, testified that he is someone who is a partisan. He is not a member of any party. He is, a staff member in Parliament. He has no reason to come and make accusations which are unsubstantiated. He was fair enough, in my view, to state where he felt that he had not enough facts to him to make any statements about. We will recall he was also asked during cross-examination, if I can cross over, by advocate, my learned colleague, Gassi Boto, several times with regards to inconsistencies by the speaker when points of order are raised, how parties were treated differently, parties of different... parties of different political, rather party members of different political parties were being, rulings were made against them. They were always never in favor of the EFF. I think the picture was drawn that the EFF was being treated unkindly compared to the ANC members. These are things that he would come in and step in to say that this is a decision that would be made by this committee. He would say in some of the questions, I cannot say that this is a decision that was made by the speaker. It was at discretion. There was also another issue with regard to Honorable Mkhonto, who is no longer an accused, so to speak, before this committee. He was fair enough to say if there's something, if someone was charged wrong, although he was not making those decisions, then that person should not be here. And I think he had time as well after we had adjourned from the 16th of January to on Tuesday, the 12th, he then said he had a look at it. And his evidence guided even the initiator as far as what to do with Honorable Mkhonto, where he stated that it was true that Honorable Mkhonto was not in the house on the 10th of June, and the decision would have to be made by this committee. So in summary, he confirmed the video evidence, Honorable Committee members. He confirmed the charges that he put to the honorable members that are before the committee now. And as far as the further evidence that was led, I wish to just simply state that his evidence should then be accepted by the committee. Further, the evidence led by the initiator was that of affidavit evidence, as the committee would recall. The affidavit of Ms. Leslie N. Bryan, a control language practitioner at Chamber Support Offices, who explained the process of gathering the Hansard recordings. We'll recall the Hansard recordings, really, its authenticity was not challenged. It might have been a challenge on when were the other records handed in, the unrevised ones, and so forth. But its authenticity as to what took place in the house on the 9th of June stands before the owner of the committee unchallenged. So we had the evidence of Ms. Leslie N. Bryan, a control language practitioner, who confirmed the process of gathering the Hansard recordings. We have Mr. Nigel van Steer, another control language practitioner, whose main function since 2021 is involved with audio processing provision for purposes of Hansard transcription. That means the YouTube channel videos and audios for sittings of the 9 and 10 June. He confirms in his affidavit was extracted and transcribed in the unrevised Hansard. We also have affidavit of Ms. Nishka Maganlal, a broadcast specialist in the Broadcasting Audiovisual and Technical Support Unit, who basically confirmed that the video footage of the National Assembly proceeding of 9 and 10 June during the President's budget speech is the unedited video footage of the proceedings as recorded and stored on the control room server. Again, this footage was unchallenged, so it remains evidence before the honorable committee members. We have Mr. Tibelo Malimi, evidence as well. This is an acting sergeant at arms who was always mentioned right through in between the 9th and 10th June, because he was the person who was always instructed by the speaker to escort the removal of members or call on the PPS when the removal wouldn't take place. So his evidence on the affidavit confirms this. Now, I wish to also emphasize part of his affidavit is that, if I can read this, that on 10 June he was physically pushed by Mr. Tambo when asking him to leave, and was obstructed by him when Mr. Malimi approached him, when Mr. Malimi was approaching Ms. Chira, as instructed by the speaker, to escort her out of the chamber. This is part of his affidavit, and that all of this was accurately depicted on the video footage of 9 and 10 June. We had also, lastly, Ms. Darlene Alice Carroll Fields, the Chamber Support Officer in the Parliamentary Protection Services, who also just simply confirmed that he performed her duties when called by the sergeant at arms to come and remove the female members. She and some of the chamber support officers would enter the chamber at the request of the acting sergeant at arms to remove the EFF members, those who refused to leave. And that the assistance of their male counterparts, most importantly at the time, was utilized as a buffer when some of the members resisted or fought their removal. This was the testimony that was really put before the Honorable Committee members as far as the initiator's case. Initiator thereafter closed its case. We have Mr. Tambos, who testified. The rest of the affected members never testified. Mr. Tambo only testified, and in essence, I understood this testimony as follows. He does not deny that he was at the house on 9, 10 June, denies the charges against him. He denies having done anything wrong. In fact, he took us through what he alleges were breaches committed by the speaker. that the speaker never asked him to leave the house prior to him being evicted out. The speaker was not consistent when he came to the process. He took us to the challenge. He had an issue with how the speaker conducted his the proceedings of 9 and 10 June, and how certain procedures were not followed with him, whilst with other members they were followed. In terms of Rule 73, honourable members will remember, the speaker ought to also have engaged with him first, as prescribed in Rule 70, and 73 was not followed by the speaker, 1 to 4, subsection 1 to 4, honourable members will remember that, and that he denies that he blocked or interfered with the Sergeant Arms. What is put as his defence to that is that, no, I wasn't. I interacted with the Sergeant Arms. I had an issue with a male removal of females due to a past incident where the female colleagues were touched indecently. I would use my own words now. In that, for him, that was nothing wrong. He was just speaking with another fellow staff member about this. In that, in fact, when the speaker made comments, what are you doing, Mr. Tambo? He raised his hands, indicating what was she talking about? What exactly did you do wrong? Because he was on his phone at the time. Further, lastly, the speaker was biased, according to him, and in her rulings against the EFF members compared to the ANC members. We'll know on cross-examination, and this is my understanding as I read through my notes, he conceded that the rule is clear that the Sergeant Arms can only act in terms of Rule 61. Honorable members will recall, if I just take a step back, when evidence in chief, when asked by my colleague, he said no. He spoke with the Sergeant Arms because he knew that the Sergeant Arms had the power to remove on his own members. So he thought he must speak directly with a member. So on cross-examination, when a rule was put, Rule 61 was put to him, that stipulates states that there must be an instruction from a speaker. Sergeant Arms cannot just simply come and do his own thing within the house with the members. He conceded to that. Further, that when shown the video, he stated that his interaction with the Sergeant Arms was to protect Ms. Chirwa, a female member who had raised sexual allegations issues that needed to be addressed. He agreed that it was through this interaction, when I put it to him, that the Sergeant Arms could not proceed any further in the execution of his duty, but that he did not stop him from continuing. Honorable members, to me, that is where the focus should be on. The Sergeant Arms could not proceed, as I think I repeated this question to him. I gave it a little bit more time. The fact that the Sergeant Arms could not exercise his duties, that is the instruction of the speaker, due to the conduct of Mr. Tambo, is clearly a sign and an indication that he interfered or blocked the Sergeant Arms. Further, he confirmed that he shifted chairs with Ms. Chirwa, as depicted on the video, that by the time the Sergeant Arms came over to execute his duties of removing her, you would recall, honorable committee members, they were sitting, I think Ms. Chirwa was the one sitting much closer, if I can put it that way, closer to the door. And Mr. Tambo was more in the middle, so after Ms. Chirwa. But by the time the Sergeant Arms was coming through to exercise his duties, they've already shifted. Ms. Chirwa was after Mr. Tambo, and Mr. Tambo was now the one closer to the door, meaning that the Sergeant Arms will have to pass through him to get to Ms. Chirwa. For me, honorable members, I make the submissions that this again was an indication. This was a man who was on a mission wanting to block the Sergeant Arms from executing his or her duties, rather his duties. During cross-examination, I think we made mention about the cross-examination term that was used. Oh, he had an issue that he was not warned. Again, in his chief, he challenged the manner that the speaker dealt with him. Why wasn't there a process in terms of Section 73, 1 to 4, when a vote of order is raised and you want to remove someone, this is what's supposed to be done, that it was not done with him. Then I took him through the record where the speaker actually warned him, rather told him to leave the house, but the quarter term was used, Pumani, Indonjalo, something like that, that it was put to him. Again, he said, no, I heard that, yes, but the word Pumani, it's unparliamentary. He did not understand it to mean that it was an order by the speaker to leave the house. Honorable members, that cannot be true. It is simple, it's a simple word. I'm not a linguistic, but it's a simple word to just leave. I'll leave that for the honourable members to decide on. So there was, even though again, I think when it was put to Mr. Khaso, there was no need to follow the program. And in fact, during cross-examination, the honourable members would remember there was no need because 73.5 stipulated that I recall independently, where there is an interference by an honourable member, let me get it, sorry. Yes, 73.5, no member may in any manner whatsoever physically intervene in, prevent or obstruct or hinder the removal of a member from chamber in terms of these rules. 6, any member or members who contravene sub-rule 5, which I've just read now, may on the instruction of the presiding officer also be removed from the chamber and the presence of parliament forthwith. Would recall honourable committee members, I put this in that there was no need for any procedure but to simply say, Magapume, and I, you know, let him also leave together with, at the time, Ms. Chirwa. So forthwith meant that it had to be done immediately. There was no other process that needed to be done because he had committed one of the gross misconducts that is described in sub-rule 5. Further, just on this point, or rather on cross-examination, raising the issue of biasness, raising the issue of how it dealt with various members, I've already stipulated that. I put it to him, but there was an incident where the speaker, whilst she had recognized one member, in this instance it was Honorable Letsi, he immediately, before Honorable Letsi could say anything, she then recognized Honorable Chibambu. I took you the call, Honorable Members. I couldn't get the page number now. I took the Honorable Member at the time to the particular page number. And Honorable Letsi also was challenged that he did not like the fact that you had given me an opportunity to speak, Speaker, but now you are giving an opportunity to Honorable Chibambu to stay. So this was to counter the fact that the Speaker was biased and was always allowing the members of the ANC to speak or raise points of order. As I go to a close with regards to his evidence, we spoke about the issue of, was there any complaint? There seems to have been a lot of challenge through his evidence. I sense he had an issue with the Speaker's rulings or orders made. But there was a process that must be followed, I put it to him, if any member is unsatisfied with the conduct of the Speaker. Did you follow this? Well, he, independently from his memory, just said, you recall there were cases made of thereafter, he couldn't even have the details. I'm sure my colleague will then take us through that when he is making his submissions before you. But during cross-examination, I was unsure, but there was the way complaints made against them.
Please note, Advocate, we have 5 minutes to wrap up.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. So it is my respectful submission, Chair, in my 5 minutes. The honourable members, the 8 honourable members ought to be found guilty. Why? They failed to come and testify and counter the evidence that we have put before the committee. No, the 8, one in time was testified, so one testified. So the 8, which when I exclude Tambo, because I'm going to address it quickly. 8, they just simply said, we are not guilty. There's no clear explanation. There's no other evidence, therefore, before the honorable committee members to decide on whether to weigh the scales of justice, so to speak, who is telling the truth, what really happened. There's only one evidence that is before you, and that is the evidence that the initiator has led. In my respectful submission, I request the honorable committee members to find all these 8 members guilty, as well as Honorable Tambo, who is the 9th one, that he be found guilty. There's evidence, as I've led and during cross-examination, to counter every defense that he placed before the honorable committee members in terms of his own conduct, the disparaging remarks that he made, his conduct, and his failure to, move, or rather to leave when requested to do so. That is disregarding the authority of the Speaker. And I ask that Mr. Klasso's evidence, which supported all of the evidence of the initiators, be accepted by the committee members. He was a good and credible witness who indicated that he remained partisan. And it is my respectful submission that the initiator has proven the case against all the affected members as charged, and I submit to honorable committee members that they all should be found guilty as charged, with honorable Mkhonto perhaps formally must be found not guilty as stated before. Non-partisan. Just to call it the wedding partisan, it's non-partisan. Honorable committee members. That is my submission. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate Magona Dano. That was the closing argument from the initiator. Honorable members, I will now allow members of this committee 15 minutes to ask clarity-seeking questions to the initiator. The staff will assist us with the timing. You have 15 minutes, honorable members. As I look at the hands, those who would want to have clarity-seeking questions.
We don't have hands, Chair, to ask questions.
Thanks, honorable members. In that case, then I would now request the legal representative of the affected members, Advocate Kasiboto, to make his closing argument. Advocate, you have 45 minutes to do so. As we track time,
everything is sensitive. I do know this thing. Is it on? It's on now. Yeah. Why didn't you bring us here from the start? Am I on now?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. You must orientate us on these things the same way we orientate members on rules on how to use this thing profile. Thank you, Dr. Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity. Just for purpose of record, discuss what on behalf of the affected members, and I hope I will not be as frantic in my argument, and you're able to follow me. Honorable Dr. Chair, committee members, good morning. I address you today, though technically as a lawyer and a defender of the affected members, as an individual who bears no sword or shield, ready to battle with the initiator and whoever else bears an interest of whatever nature in seeing my client sanctioned for the alleged and impugned conduct, I rather stand bare and humble in front of you in an effort to appeal to what I believe is an innate sense of reason and conscience of the constitutional order that you saw yourselves to as members of this august house. Implicit in this constitutional order and sense of reason and conscience, and I say of superior logic, is an implied obligation to act with fairness and independence at all times in fulfilling your obligations to this house and to the people of the Republic of South Africa. This is not least in the fulfillment of your obligation in these proceedings. Crucial in your consideration of how you will decide this matter is the following prescript, which is found in Rule 26 sub 4 of the National Assembly Rules 9th edition. The Speaker must act fairly and impartially and apply the rules with due regard to ensuring the participation of members of all parties in a manner consistent with democracy. That is the fulcrum and the litmus test that must bind your consideration in deciding when you do in this matter. Sitting as you do in this committee, deciding whether the Speaker can withstand the scrutiny of this democratic project and standard in this matter. You must divorce yourself of any considerations that are not reconcilable with this litmus test. And of course, I take comfort in that this House is well aware of that, this committee is well aware, but I thought it best mentioned nonetheless. I must humbly submit that this committee would be faced with a considerable difficulty justifying why it took a decision to sanction my clients for comments they made that were deemed unparliamentary by the Speaker in relation to the President. And at the same time, no sanction follows for some other party members who called Mr. Floyd Shibambu a VBS looter and a murderer. They are not in front of this committee to answer for that. You will have, I respectfully submit, difficulties in litigation justifying what I will call an unfair and unbalanced response to party members for the same conduct, i.e. uttering unparliamentary words in the House. And I must make this point. The fact that only EFF members are disciplined for unparliamentary language towards the President and the ANC members are not disciplined for unparliamentary statement is a difficulty you will have to contend with should this matter go to court. By Mr. Castle's own concession under cross-examination, it is unparliamentary for any member to call a member of this House a VBS looter or a murderer. Mr. Castle made that concession in unambiguous terms. And I submit that concession was properly made. And his justification for why those ANC members who made those statements were not sanctioned by the Speaker is simply that it was not brought to the attention of the Speaker in the House. We then took him to the text in the Hansard that shows not least the president of the EFF bring that to the attention of the Speaker. He then was prepared that it was raised in the House, that Mr. Shibambu was called a VBS looter and a murderer, and the Speaker made no ruling on it. He accepts that happened. He then recalibrates his response in defense of the Speaker. He then says, well, maybe the Speaker did not hear. It struck me strange that he's prepared to make that assumption on behalf of the Speaker, but at all times always refused to not speculate, or rather he's always refused to speculate when the answer would have been inconvenient for him. It simply is improbable that someone who was on the stand allowed to address the Speaker says, Speaker, someone is calling Mr. Shibambu a VBS looter and a murderer. It strikes me strange that someone on the podium makes a comment, the Speaker would not hear it. But coincidentally, every time someone is on the stand and they make disparaging remarks about the President, suddenly the Speaker can hear it and she can make a ruling on it. It strikes me odd that that is probable, that she heard none of the comments in relation to Mr. Shibambu. I would submit that you should reject that evidence. With respect, it is certainly improbable. But even if you assume the Speaker did not hear, Mr. Castle then says, well, then what did you do about it? The first difficulty is, why is it that when it comes to EFF members, no one does anything, the Speaker just sanctions? All of a sudden, when the problem is with an ANC member, something must be done by someone else before action is taken. That is a double standard, which is unfair on the EFF members. We then said, we'll provide you with letters that shows that they raised these concerns in the letters we spoke about the last time we met. And the only reason those letters became relevant was because this issue came up when the initiator was asking questions. It is not an issue we wanted to take up. We're simply taking it up because the initiator asked the question. And then we're saying, if that's the initiator's position, we want to show that the EFF actually did something about it. To this day, despite raising those issues, there's been no response from the Office of the Speaker or anyone for that matter. All these issues were raised, the double standards and all the issues about the points of order which were given to some members and not some members, all of them were raised. there's been no response to date. So even if there was credence to the argument that they did something, well, they did nothing about it, we have shown that they in fact did something about it. In any event, even if they had not done something about it, before we sit in this committee to debate the issues of whether these members must be sanctioned or not, Mr. Kaso was at pains in cross-examination to explain the elongated process of how we get to the charges and to us sitting here today. He says various structures, not least the Rules Committee, as well as this committee, sit and decide these issues or consider these issues. And then this committee decides whether the charges should be brought or not. Mr. Kaso then said she's got confidence that all those structures viewed the Hansard as they must, because then how else do they apply their minds without having regard to the Hansard? He also confirmed that they watched the videos, because how else do they apply their minds without watching the videos of the 9th and the 10th? And if then this committee and the Rules Committee did that exercise, and they would have seen that Mr. Shibambo has called the VPS Lutel as a criminal, which Mr. Castle's own evidence says is unparliamentary, what then did you do? You must be able to answer that. So even if it was not raised by an EFF member, and I've dispelled that notion, they raised it. But even if they didn't, when you yourself applied your minds and you decided to bring these charges, what did you do when you saw that members that are not EFF members equally conducted themselves in a manner that was sanctioned against EFF members? What did you do? Did any of you make the decision that they too must be in front of this committee? Assuming, of course, you would have read the Hansard and you would have watched the video and you would have seen him being called a VPS looter and a criminal and a murderer, not least of his fellow comrades. What then did you do? One of two things must have happened. One, you did not watch the videos, or you did not read the Hansard, which is a problem in itself. Alternatively, you read the Hansard, you watched the videos, and you decided to turn a blind eye to it, which in itself is a problem. You must be then able to answer for why is it that the EFF members are here to answer for alleged unparliamentary statements when the other members who are from a different political party made the same statements and are not in front of you. That is the question you'll have to answer if you find these members guilty. I must make this point. When we sat, at least the last time we sat on Tuesday, there were six members that were not EFF members but ANC members. For whatever reason, Mr. Tambo, who is a charge person here, is added as a seventh member of this committee. That is on record in public from this house, from this committee. We know that Mr. Tambo is not a member of this committee. We also know that this committee must have at least seven members to decide today's matter. They did not have seven the last time we sat. For whatever reason, and I'm not imputing any unlawfulness or criminal conduct on anyone, at least not at this stage, Mr. Tambo is added as a seventh one. This House knows he's not a member. How do we know? Because he's not a member. And secondly, because he was reprimanded for addressing this committee when he's not a member but simply charged. Yet the record of this committee sitting, at least on the last time we met here, he's recorded as a seventh member, which is the number you require to make decisions in relation to these proceedings. That, for me, is something would want this committee to satisfy us as to why that happened. We now sit here. We've got far more members than we had in the last sitting on Tuesday. Why? What will inform their decision here today? They were not sitting here observing the testimony by the various witnesses, posing questions, getting clarity. Yet they sit here today to come and assist make the decision.
How can they possibly make the decision if they've never been part of the process? These are issues that will be taken up should this matter go to court. How can they possibly rationally and fairly and honestly make a proper decision if their own involvement, at least as far as this sitting and these charges are concerned, their own involvement is today and never before? I make this statement again. Neither of the EFF members would have been in a position where they are kicked out of the house, they fail to obey the instructions as alleged, they are evicted by PPS, had they been treated the same way as the other members. In other words, the only reason the ANC members who called Mr. Shibambu a criminal and a murderer are not before this committee is because the speaker did not take issue with it, which was unparliamentary conduct. Had she done the same with EFF members, they wouldn't have been here. So all these other charges that permeate as a result of their conduct because of the statements they made would not have arisen if they were treated the same way as the other two ANC members who behaved in a similar manner. That is the only reason they are here, because they were treated differently, which is in violation of Rule 12 sub 4, as I've suggested earlier on. And what I must point out is this. In the last sitting, disciplinary sitting, you exonerated Mente MP, and I submit you did so properly, which is why I've got faith that this committee will do likewise here. The reason you exonerated Mente MP is because she was treated differently to Dr. Mkhize, who's an EFF ANC member, for the exact same conduct. That was the reason you exonerated her. And I'm saying, if you did so then, what stops you from doing it now? You cannot be consistent in saying Mente MP must be exonerated because she was punished for something that was done by Dr. Mkhize, but Dr. Mkhize was not punished. Therefore, she must be set free. I'm saying the exact same thing has happened here, where EFF members made unparliamentary statements. We do not accept they were unparliamentary, but for current purposes, let's accept they were. If they were then unparliamentary, and so were the statements against Shibambu, that is similar conduct, and different punishments are meted against members relative to which parties they belong. If then you approached the mental matter as you did, why should you not in this instance? And I've got faith that will apply the same discretion and the same principle you did in Mente in relation to EFF members that made unparliamentary comments as alleged. I then move to the issue of Tambo MP. The basic tenet of any trial or disciplinary hearing is that when there are disputes of fact, he who alleges must prove. That's the basic tenet. It's a delictual concept, it's a trial concept, it's a concept you apply in any dispute that has legal implications. In other words, the initiator must prove what she needs to prove for the finding of guilt. I suggested to you that for Tambo to be guilty of obstruction, what the initiator must show is that she did so intentionally. He cannot be obstructive negligently. In other words, it's not enough that he stands and he so happens to be standing in between Ms. Chirwa as well as the sergeant at arms. That is not enough. To the extent the initiator says that is enough, then she has not discharged her obligation. We then sought to make her task easy by saying, let's do what ought to be done for you to discharge your function, which is to have two witnesses who come with their versions of facts. Because on Mr. Castle's admission, Mr. Tambo was not interviewed about what he said. The sergeant at arms was not interviewed about what was said to him by Tambo. And if Tambo MP is correct in saying, I simply said to him, the Speaker said no member of staff of Parliament will remove a female. If then she gives that order, on what basis do you have a sergeant at arms removing a female member of Parliament? He says that's what he said to the sergeant at arms. And he expected the sergeant at arms to relay that to the Speaker, with the hope that the Speaker will say, oh yes, now I remember. Actually, let's send someone else to remove Chirwa. We do not make this submission for the sake of making submission. I took you to the provisions of the rules that says the sergeant at arms has got the power to even use physical means to remove members. And then Tambo says, I had no guarantee that the sergeant will not use physical means, which is why he was apprehensive about the sergeant at arms removing Naledi Chirwa MP, which is then, for that reason, reminds the sergeant at arms that, remember, you are not allowed to come here as per the order of the Speaker herself. And he expects him to respond, or rather to relay that to the Speaker, and then the Speaker makes a decision. But what happens? The Speaker then says, despite us suggesting and referring you to the rule that says, as a starting point, she must, that's what the rule says, ask the member to leave. And if the member fails to leave, she must call the sergeant at arms. And if that fails, she then must call PPS as a third option. But what does she do with Tambo MP? Immediately she says Tambo MP must leave. It is unprecedented. It has never happened in any of the committee sittings and of this parliament in a democratic era where someone is just unleashed with the PPS services. It has never happened. And that is why I say then, what was so special with Tambo MP that he was not granted all those courtesies that are provided for in terms of the rules? That then again speaks to the procedural unfairness, at least in respect of him. We then said to the initiator, invite Mr. Tebelo to come and testify, that is a sergeant at arms, to come and testify that Tambo is lying. Tambo was so convinced about what he said to the sergeant at arms and the bona fides of what he said to him that he was prepared to even remind the initiator that he's got the right to call him and come and testify. I then said to him, what will he testify to? Why are you so confident? He says, because I know what I said to him. The initiator chooses not to call the sergeant at arms for whatever reason. What he's simply saying is, then you must accept, because that's the test. It's called the Plascon-Evans test. You must accept his version then, because it has not been controverted. You must accept, absent any testimony to the contrary, you must accept that is what he meant to achieve, and that is what he said to the sergeant at arms. And if you accept that is what he said, and he was acting in good faith to just remind the Speaker not to send males to evict female members, then you must accept that he had no intention to be obstructive. And if you accept he had no intention to be obstructive, then he can't have breached the rules by being in contempt, because contempt requires intention, obstruction requires intention, not good faith. It is simply not enough that you stood up if we do not know what he said. We know what he said on his version, and it hasn't been contradicted. In any event, it is a principle of our law that you may not duplicate charges. In other words, if someone is guilty of unlawful conduct, you can't from the same conduct impute another punishment and another punishment and another punishment, and then you end up with five charges, which then justify the committee going to town about the sanction. Because the impression that is created is that from the same conduct, there's this charge, there's this charge, there's this charge, and if there are so many charges, then you can have extensive sanctions as a result. I will not go through the whole list of the charges. I will presume that this committee has read the charges and you know them. And if I was to do that exercise, then I'll end up with 45 minutes just going through those charges. I will not do so. Safe to make a simple submission that when you look at those charges, there's a duplication of charges stemming from the same conduct. It can't then be that based on the same conduct, different charges emanate. And that, with respect, I submit, is one of the fallacies that have been committed by the legal fallacies that have been committed by the initiator with due respect. We then deal with the question of Ms. Naledi Chirwa, who had raised issues in the House about the treatment of female members and the cases, I understand, the criminal cases they opened as a result. And the criticism of her conduct is that she raised issues that were not on the agenda list. Let's accept for a second that is so. Be that as it may, the rules allow for points of order. Points of order relate to the conduct of the House. In other words, you are allowed to raise a point of order, albeit it is not on the list. Points of orders are not intended to be on the list. Similarly, an issue of when mics are switched on or off is an issue of a point of order. It does not have to be on the list to be raised. It is legal nonsense with respect to suggest that you can only raise a point of order if it is on the list of the items to be addressed on the day. It goes and it is inimical with the very notion of what a point of order is. And to the extent then someone raises a point of order that is not on the list, it is permissible. We can all accept that the speaker is entitled to make decisions. But if the concern about members being muted on a virtual platform, that is tantamount to saying that we postulate a scenario where we're sitting in a physical house as members of parliament to debate the budget vote or report of the president. We're sitting in a physical house. For some reason, there are two people who are making noise on the West Wing in the physical house. The essence of the speaker muting everyone who is on the virtual platform is the same thing as saying, I hear two, three people making noise in that West Wing in the physical house. Therefore, that entire wing must be kicked out of the house. That is the sum total of a decision to mute everyone who's on a virtual platform. Her defense will, of course, be, well, I didn't know who was making noise, therefore I had to mute everyone. It still does not address the nub of my contention, which is to say in a physical house, you're saying because there's noise there, everyone must go. There's, of course, a rational response the speaker with respect could have employed in that scenario, which is empowered in terms of the rules, which is to say, let's adjourn. I've got a problem here. Whether people who are making noise on the virtual platform, I cannot identify them. How do you solve the issue? That is less draconian than the step that she took. And I respectfully submit it was not a rational and appropriate response, which is why then you had some of the members of the AFF raise that objection. But more crucially, you also had an ANC member raising the same issue. But for one reason or the other, the only people who are sanctioned for raising that objection are EFF members, which then again takes me to that seeming disproportionate and biased response to members of parliament. I'll be quite blunt with this committee and say this without any fear of reprimand. It is not lost on myself, it is not lost on EFF members, and hopefully it will be not lost on the courts, that the Speaker of the House is an ANC member. It is not lost on me, and hopefully it will not be lost on courts, that the people predominantly who wish to sanction these members are ANC members. It is not lost on me that it is no coincidence that unparliamentary language that is used in a House is only punishable if it's an EFF member, and I've shown it's not punishable if it's an ANC member. I respectfully submit that is not a coincidence. And I say this, Come the time, if it comes to litigation, those are issues we'll ventilate. I then come with a proposed solution to the problem we're faced with, having hopefully shown you that there's been innumerable instances where unbalanced reactions were meted by the speaker relative to who she was addressing. The proposal is this. Before we even get to a question of mitigation, which I presume we will at one point or the other if you do not exonerate my members, is to then self-reflect as a committee as to how do we address these issues going forward. Assuming, of course, you are with me when I suggest that at least insofar as Ms. Shibambu being called a criminal, something should have been done. You could have done better in that respect. And I say you, by that I mean the committee, the rules committee, Mr. Klaus and everyone was involved. I suggest you could have done better in that respect, and you failed to do so. And I'm inviting you to then take stock of that and own it, and ask yourself, how do we deal with this situation going forward so that you don't have it again? And my suggestion is this. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying we could have done better. And the solution to it is to not punish the ESF members and at the same time exonerate the ANC members. They must be found not guilty, at least as far as that charge is concerned. Otherwise, you face the problems that I've suggested. I then say, what then do you make of the balance of the charges that do not relate to these disparaging remarks, alleged disparaging remarks that are made against the president? I then invite you to have consideration of what you did with Mente, which, by the way, I must place on record, was commendable on part of the committee to have that maturity, where they say, because Mente has been charged not only with saying something unparliamentary, which the speaker did not hear, but she's also charged for failing to leave the house when she was instructed to, and PPS said to be called in when she had failed to leave when the sergeant at arms asked her to leave. You did not in that case say, well, we'll exonerate you because you did not hear what you said, but we'll still charge you and find you guilty for failing to leave the house. That's not the approach you took. Because the submission I'd make is she would not be in a position where she disregards the instruction of the speaker to leave the house had she not been asked to leave from the beginning, because Dr. Mkhize himself had not been asked to leave. You then say, because all these charges stem from unfair conduct from the start, we'll exonerate her of all the charges. That's the proposal. It's not my suggestion. It's what the committee itself did the last time. If you are with me in saying we accept that we punish some of the EFF members for saying the president is criminal and everything else follows from that, and we should have done the same in relation to ANC members that called Mr. Shibambu a criminal and a murderer, and we failed to do so, and that is the inconsistency as in the mental matter. Because we then said in mental, because we were treated unfairly, every other charge must fall away. I'm suggesting you follow the same line of reasoning in relation to members that have been charged with making disparaging remarks against the president. And I think that is a crucial point to underpin. And I'm asking that if you fail to follow the same line of reasoning, the difficulty we'll face is, well, then why did you do it in Mente and not do it here? Again, what's the difference? And I pose that question rhetorically. I am told that I have 15 minutes left, and my attorney says I shouldn't address any other issue. Maybe then what we can do, because I know that I've got 15 minutes to field questions from the House, maybe we can add these 15 minutes as well, perhaps take up to 30 minutes if they're so inclined, because ultimately I'm not just here to monotone speak to you. I'd rather we engage, and I'm happy to take questions for the next 30 minutes to the extent there might be any clarity questions that may come from the committee. And I thank you, Chair.
to advocate Kasiboto, honorable members. I have a problem with my network. Pardon my video, but I'm still here. I will, at this point, thanking you for the generosity of 15 minutes. Allow the honorable members of this committee 15 minutes to ask clarity-seeking questions to the legal representative of the affected members. I'm mindful that you gave them extra 15, but they are allowed to use 15 that was allocated to them also. Honorable members, you have the platform. I don't see any hands.
Yes, Chair, there are no hands.
Okay. Thank you, honorable members. It means Advocate Kasiboto also was clear. At this point in time, honorable members, let me indicate then that the initiator presented her evidence by way of a video footage of the incidents that occurred on 9 and 10 June 2022, and the testimony of the Secretary of the National Assembly, Mr. Khaso. Similarly, Advocate Kasiboto presented evidence by way of testimony of Honorable Tambo. We have just heard the closing arguments. It is now the time for us to deliberate on the evidence presented and to make findings on whether the affected members are guilty as charged. If the members are found not guilty, it is the end of the matter. And we will then table a report to the House to that effect. If, however, there are affected members found guilty, we will then proceed to the next step. Let me also indicate that before we deliberate on the evidence and making a finding of guilty or not, I need to allow members 30 minutes to consult individually. And at this point, honorable members, it's just 3 minutes before 1 o'clock. Our lunch hour, the 45 minutes, our lunch break is at 1:15. I would suggest, honorable members, that we take a break now to allow you to individually consult, as I have indicated, and probably include that into your lunch break so that we reconvene at 14 hours so that we come and continue after your consultations, if that August well with the honorable members of this committee. We include what is left of this minute to take us to our lunch break so that we consult and come back at 14 hours.
Agreed, Chair.
Thanks, honorable Seke.
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. Let's adjourn for lunch. We'll resume at 14 hours. But remember to consult individually so that when we come back, we continue after having consulted.
Recording in progress. Recording stopped.
Yeah. Outside.
No, you cannot give a phone outside.
Okay. Oh, okay. I thought I had something
I am stuck with you now to be swimming.
Good afternoon, members. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Members, the chair and Mr. Tab are struggling to connect, so they are going to try and look for a place where there's internet. They're struggling because of load shedding, so they've asked us to give them a moment to connect. Thanks.
Afternoon, Chair.
Afternoon, Mr. Club.
Yeah, apologies. I may have had challenges with connectivity, but we are here. Perhaps if we could be guided.
We are still waiting for the chairperson to connect.
Honorable members, I'm back. I don't know what is the brief, the stuff. I just managed to get connected again.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We've been waiting for you.
Yeah, you are welcome, Chair. I also had challenges of connectivity, but here we are. Thank you, Chair.
Yo, I've never seen something like this, but thanks for your indulgence, honorable members. Let me check if at M46 everybody is around so that we can start.
Chair, the legal teams are here. We can proceed.
Okay. Honorable members, as and when we were breaking for lunch, I indicated that you will have, amongst other things, to consult individually so that we come back and deliberate on the evidence and making a finding of guilty or not. And just to recap in a very summarized form, honorable members, the affected members are charged for having deliberately created and took part in a serious disturbance, disorder, and disruption in the house, and acted in a way that was seriously detrimental to the dignity, decorum, and orderly procedure of the house. I now open the floor for honorable members of this committee's inputs. Honorable Mlenzana.
Thanks, Chairperson, and once more, welcome you back from the struggle of connectivity. Chairperson, having listened to the presentations, of course, also influenced by the cross examinations which were there before, I feel that for now I will not be long, but as I'm saying, having listened, I am persuaded by facts that the charge which is laid against these honorable members is justified. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Mlenzana. Honorable Panarwal.
Chairperson, thank you. Am I audible?
You are, Honorable. Continue.
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you. And I think the question here is the charges that were laid against these members, referring to the rules of the NA in Parliament, gives us no choice but to find them guilty of not adhering to the set of rules that we all have as members of Parliament. I'm not going into any other thing because I think whether the speaker this or that or what happened, That is not the charge. The charge is whether members adhered to the rules of the NA. It did not, and therefore we agree to the charge that these members are guilty of transgression. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Van der Walt. Honorable Zeker.
Thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to all the people who have connected and in the House. Without wasting any time, Chair, I think I would want to agree with the two honourable members who said that we would not repeat even the charges that were brought forward to the affected members. I also want to support that they have a case to answer and therefore they are found guilty. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Zeke. Honorable Saba.
Thanks, Chair, and once more, welcome and greetings to all members and staff and legal team that is connected to the hearing. Chair, I think much has been said, and I think I would like to align myself because I since have been listening attentively and have heard many arguments happening and so on. But I think members must be honorable members. And indeed, out of what has been presented here, I would like to support and join other members to say, indeed, members are guilty. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Saba. Honorable Dlakude.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to all honorable members on the platform and everyone. Honorable Chairperson, my apologies, I'm at the airport. I hope I'm loud and clear, Honorable Chair. I want to say, Honorable Chairperson, the honorable members are guilty as charged. Rules are made to guide the proceedings of any institution, like we have the rules to guide the proceedings of our of the house. So the members violated the rules. So I will not go back to that, but I'll say they are guilty.
Recording in progress.
I agree with my colleagues on this one. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Dlakude. Honorable members, is there any other member that I wouldn't? Okay, those were the hands. Honorable members, the findings therefore of the committee, according to the deliberations of honorable members of this committee, are that Honorable Tambo, Honorable Ntlangwini, Honorable Yako, Honorable Matumba, Honorable Montwedi, Honorable Chirwa, Honorable Matulelwa, Honorable Mare, and Honorable Mafanya are each guilty as charged. Having listened to the deliberations of the committee members, as I've indicated, we will now move to the arguments in aggravation and mitigation. At this point, we will now proceed, honorable members, to hear arguments in mitigation from the legal team of the affected members. I now request Advocate Kasiboto to present his arguments to the committee and proposals regarding appropriate sanctions. Advocate, we have 30 minutes to do so.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would just like to make a point on my notes. My apologies, it caught me off guard. If you could just give me 10 seconds to complete this thought, and then I will address you in 10 seconds. Share my apologies.
Granted. Thanks, Advocate.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. If I can report the following first before I deal with the issues of mitigation. The first is to request the chair to, if the committee is so inclined, to provide us with written reasons for the decisions taken, or we are happy to accept that the deliberations we've had now are the decision and the reasons this committee relies on. So we'd like to get that confirmation at some point today. We'd really appreciate that. The second issue I want to record is this. I had at the start of today's proceedings taken issue with individuals who did not hear the evidence that was presented here, being present today and making a decision. and contributing to the deliberations, which of course I would imagine should be clear to anyone that no rational and lawful decision can stem from someone who was not in this sitting, duly present and noted as present, suddenly coming in at the tail end, having had no benefit of being in front of this committee to observe what happened, to suddenly have an opinion about people's guilt or not. Would appreciate a response in that regard. Equally, you have an individual who was not present when argument was made today as to how the evidence is to be weighed. Suddenly, being present now, having had no benefit of what the arguments are, whether they could have been persuaded one way or the other, making a decision about people's guilt or not, would like to be addressed in that respect. And I will be fair to this committee and just put it up front that these are issues will certainly, if the instruction comes to go to court and review, we will take those issues up. We'll certainly also take up the issues about the inconsistencies we're dealing with today, which is why I was interested in a written judgment of this committee. But of course, I'm not directing that you do anything. We're happy to take the recording of the deliberations as the basis of your decision. With that being said, Chairperson, let me say this in mitigation in light of the findings that were made by this committee. The first is that it is quite abundantly clear to me that you cannot get away, as I've submitted earlier, from the fact that this committee knew or ought to have known, the speaker knew or ought to have known, that unparliamentary language, which Mr. Klasso accepted and conceded to, was used by at least two members who are not in front of this committee, not charged, not sanctioned, not removed from the House. You know that for a fact. You know for a fact that some of the members that have been found guilty today have been charged for use of unparliamentary language. That is clear inconsistency, and in my submission, it is abundantly clear. In light of that submission, I say in mitigation, and by saying in mitigation, it is not a concession that we are wrong on that point. We insist that we are right on it, and for that reason, you shouldn't have found them guilty. But in light of the fact that you have found them guilty, we are saying I'm waiting for Honorable Lawude to be muted, please. We are saying in light of the fact that you have found them guilty, there cannot be any democratic or constitutional reason why you should sanction some people for the same behavior that other people are not sanctioned for. It is wholly incompetent to have such a situation. For that reason, and as a matter of principle, albeit that the members are found guilty, it is a discretion of this committee to say we will not punish them for the reasons I have given. I will make further submissions about alternative penalties you can impose if you are so inclined to punish them, notwithstanding what I've just said. I am also saying to this committee, I believe that they are well aware of the issues that I've raised about this process. And what would have been appropriate for me is for this committee to acknowledge that there were shortcomings, unless it insists there was no shortcoming, there's absolutely nothing wrong the speaker did. There's absolutely nothing wrong with people coming in making decisions when they didn't hear the evidence, people coming in making decisions when they didn't hear arguments. If you say there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of that, then of course you must punish them. But if you are sincere with yourself and you acknowledge these shortcomings, this committee, and I've been at pains to make this point, along with the Rules Committee, could not even identify that a charged person was not even in Parliament. If you're saying there's nothing wrong with that as well, and Mr. Klasso insists there was nothing wrong, if you agree with him that there was nothing wrong, then of course he must punish them.
But if you are in earnest and sincere with yourselves, you'll acknowledge your shortcomings, and perhaps this is a lesson going forward as to assisting the speaker in the fulfillment of her functions, where my clients are not sacrificed at an altar in instances where we know that there were shortcomings. It could be enough at the discretion of this committee to say, notwithstanding our reprimand of your members, that's the alternative penalty I'm suggesting, that you reprimand the members. Where on the one hand, you acknowledge your own shortcomings, which you don't have to do it in writing, or I'm just saying consciously acknowledge it, but outward say, will nonetheless reprimand your members for their conduct. We would be comfortable with that. And we are saying, once the committee accepts these shortcomings that I've referred to, they can then say it is a lesson to us as well as to what we can do better going forward. And it is my undertaking, I have no instructions on it, but I'm pretty sure I'll be able to persuade my clients that if you are inclined to merely reprimand them, then there will not be a review of these proceedings. The last alternative that we are providing to this committee is this. The first prize for my clients is merely an acknowledgement of the shortcomings and nothing is done. If there must be sanction, a reprimand is enough. If this committee is so inclined to take it even a step further, I understand it is my instruction that my clients are willing to apologize in writing. And we are saying, in light of all the facts that the committee is aware of and these challenges I'm talking about, nothing could be further than that. Nothing could justify punishment further than that with respect. We submit anything beyond that. It's a submission I'm not dictating to the committee. Anything further than that would be purely draconian. And those are submissions in mitigation, Chairperson. And I thank you very much for lending me your ear. And I'm grateful to the committee as well, the initiator, for the cordial manner in which he has dealt with the matter, and of course, the staff of Parliament. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Advocate Kasiboto. Honorable members, we will now proceed to hear arguments in aggravation from the initiator. I now request that Advocate Magona Dano put to the committee arguments in aggravation and proposals regarding appropriate sanctions. You have also 30 minutes to do so. Advocate Magona Dano.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Mine would be, with respect to aggravating factors, I would request the honorable committee members to remember that Section 12.5 empowers them to look at what exactly they have found a member guilty of contempt, what penalties can they consider to find the members liable under the Act or any other law, and they can impose such penalties. That is Section 12.5 of the Act. I will not read that on record. I will take it that the members certainly do know of the section that is on the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act. Further, I would like for the committee members to consider the circumstances of this case. They are to determine an appropriate penalty for the members. The seriousness of the charges of contempt of Parliament, which the affected members had been found guilty. I need not repeat to them, as well as the nature and severity of their conduct. And when they do so, to also consider whether there was any acknowledgement of wrongdoing or remorse on the part of the affected members, or any cooperation with the work of this committee. Also, whether there was any previous incidents involving the affected members and the interests of Parliament. In short, of all the 4 points I've just raised, the honorable committee members would recall that this is a serious offence, the contempt of Parliament and its rules, the complete disregard and the authority of the Speaker and the disparaging remarks that were made by others, as well as the interaction that they've had, the commotion caused within the house, as well as interaction with the PPS members and so forth during the two-day trial. The country or the parliament was held at ransom, at least the house, as well as I'll take it to the South Africans that were watching. The president could not even proceed until the members were removed. Further, there was no acknowledgement of wrongdoing. There was no remorse shown by any of the members, of the affected members before, and there was no cooperation with them as far as the work of this committee is concerned. We had to dig it out through a number of days, a period of time, in order to get to where we are today. There are previous incidents involving just a few of the members that would call, I would mention them as repeat offenders. From the information I received, we have Honorable Ndlangwini, who was then Ms. Lowe, as well as Honorable Tambo and Honorable Montwedi. They are repeat offenders.
Sorry. My apologies, Chair. I had to interrupt the initiator because now she is stating as facts issues that were not debated here. My clients were never put or furnished with these claims. For all we know, they are true. For all we know, they are not. And they don't have an opportunity to respond to them. The question was put to Mr. Basso, and he refused to answer the question as to whether they are repeat offenders or not. We are now furnished with alleged facts of repeat offenders when all of that evidence has not been tested. I would therefore suggest, Chair, that you rule that it is impermissible to introduce these facts when they've been unchallenged and they were never put to my clients up until this point. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Advocate Kasibotwa. Advocate Magona Dona.
Dano.
Can you take that into consideration?
Thank you, Chair.
The witness didn't want to agree or not onto that.
Thank you, Chair. May I just make also just a reply in what my colleague has just indicated with regard to repeat offenders. Chair, when coming to sanctioning persons who are accused before an inquiry of this nature, previous incidents, it's something that the accusers have to give instructions to their legal representatives. What needs to be done is they must be proven, which I am stipulating before the Honorable Inquiry, and obviously the committee will then make that decision. But if the Chair feels that such evidence, or rather such submissions should not be made, I will leave it in the committee's hands. It is just the three or offenders that I've mentioned. So is the Chair's decision not to mention the repeat offending as part of the aggravation circumstances by the initiator? Just to be clear. Will the Chair give such a ruling, perhaps, so that it's clear to the initiator?
Advocate Magona, as Advocate Kasibotho said, his argument is that the Kwaso didn't want to use the word repeat offenders. I see the hands of Honorable Mlenzana and Honorable Taba in that order.
No, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. And let me just clarify the session about this. Seemingly bone of contention, which is not. It is myself, Chairperson, who raised this question of a, in inverted commas, a repeat offenders. And the manner in which Mr. Kaso responded to me, hence I then had to withdraw wholly, was such that at the stage, and I had to be careful also, at the stage there was nothing which was conclusive of whether we are dealing with honorable members who have been declared offenders or not. Hence, then, I have to withdraw. Not necessarily that. It was saying we are putting a clause into the fact that these honorable members once appeared and were then charged as such. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Menzana. Honorable Baba.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think I know that it is the legal reps that are talking before us here. Yeah? But in the bone of contention, I will propose to you, Chair, and the committee, that we be off listening, and as the legal represent, as the committee, we are yet to discuss about these matters as they raised, and it will be for a committee decision. It can be of either an initiator or advocate, but we are listening to what is happening. Then the committee will decide. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Traba. Advocate Magona Dona, can you please continue as advised by the committee members that they will speak to the issues as and when the time arises, so that I am not forced to make a ruling or decision before they come in and deliberate?
So with that, can I then address the committee as when I want to mention repeat offenders, the committee will then make a decision at the end? I'm trying to really understand. I'm not challenging the decision.
Yes, please proceed. Clear about. Yes, please proceed.
All right. Thank you, Chair. If that would be then then was Ms. Lowe, who's now Mrs. Tlangwini, Honorable Tambo, and Honorable Montwedi are the three repeat offenders. Honorable committee members, the first time offenders are the arrest of the affected members. And I would like to make submission that, as I've said, there was no remorse and none of them had testified after a lengthy process of disputing the allegations, pleading not guilty. And then we were left with, actually, they decided to remain silent. The proposal that we would like to make as the initiator in terms of sanctioning is as follows. With regards to, I would use the word, forgive me, repeat offenders, the Honorable Committee would should consider Section 12G of the Act, where it states that the suspension of the member with or without remuneration for a period not exceeding 30 days, whether or not the House or any of its committees is scheduled to meet during that period. This would be without remuneration, just to be correct, the suspension of the member without remuneration. That would be for those of repeat offenders. And in addition to that, I would propose the committee to consider Section 12C as well. That they, we appreciate that they are the proposal as well from their defense counsel is that there be an apology, but ours is, in order to apologize, it must be made to Parliament or the House or any person in a manner determined by the House. We are suggesting that it be made to Parliament, the President, as well as obviously the South Africans. This can only be done publicly. Ours is, Honorable Committee members, the offense were committed publicly. It's only fair that there be a public apology so that we can regain the confidence of South Africans. Similarly, with regard to the first-time offenders, if I were to call them that, there would be two categories I would like to propose, Honorable Committee members. The... There are those who walked out independently when the PPS was called. We'd like to really acknowledge this, Honorable Members, and we want to applaud it and encourage perhaps in the future if anything of this nature would happen. that there is no need for any commotion or any scene being created when there is an order made by the Speaker. Honorable Yako and Honorable Mafanya, when the PPS was called, they immediately stood up and walked out. They didn't have to be pushed out or any issues that took place with the rest of the members. So in our view, that the Honorable Committee should consider that they be lenient, and we suggest that with them, in terms of Section 12F, that there be a fine imposed on them not exceeding the equivalent of a half a month's salary and allowances payable to the members concerned by virtue of the remuneration of public office bearers, that is Section 12F. Half a month beginning from the 1st of April to the 15th of April, Honorable Committee members. This is just in respect of Honorable Yako and Honorable Mafanya for the reasons I stated. With regards to the rest of the first-time offenders, we propose the following, that the Honorable Committee members consider imposing a fine, rather again with them, Section 12S, but with them a fine not exceeding the equivalent of a full month's salary, 1 month's salary and allowances payable to the member concerned by virtue of the Remuneration of Public Officers Bearers Act. This would begin from the 1st of April until the 30th of April. That would be our proposal with regards to the three set of, the three criteria I've just described with, of the affected members.
Are you done, Advocate Magona?
Apologies there, Chair. I was just taking final instruction in the matter. Chair, I would like to also remind perhaps the committee members when it comes to Section 12G, which I've recommended for the repeat offenders, that it must be read with Section 12.9. And in some, I would can quickly read it, that a member may not be suspended under subsection 5G unless the House has found that A, the member is guilty of a serious or repeated contempt, which we've done here, and none of the other penalties set out in subsection 5 would be sufficient, which is my submission that a reprimand in these facts and the circumstances that are before you would not be sufficient. There is a serious charges against the members, serious misconduct, and their conduct over the two-day period are serious enough that they deserve to be sentenced accordingly as to Section 12G. In that regard, if I'm not misunderstood, an apology must apply, will be proposed to all the members that are before you. I think that is all the proposals that I have before the Honorable Committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Advocate Magona Nano. Honorable members, you have heard the argument in aggravation and proposed penalties. It is time for honorable members to deliberate on appropriate penalties, taking into account the aggravating and mitigating factors put to the committee. And before we deliberate on the appropriate penalties, I will once again allow members 15 minutes to consult individually. 15:37. Staff will advise what time we have to be back. 15 minutes consultation. Can we take 15 minutes, honorable members?
Chair, the members should be back with their report at 15:52.
15:52, thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, are we all back? Is everybody back in the M46 and in the platform? Okay, if everybody is here, Honorable
members. Yes, we are back.
Let me indicate that we had the arguments and mitigation and aggravating circumstances and proposed. Sorry?
Can I speak to the chair, please? Chairperson, sorry.
Was there anybody?
Yes, Chair, sorry. I was going to ask for indulgence that before you address us, can I just make a quick point because it has a bearing on the sentencing?
I'm struggling to hear you a bit, Advocate Kasiboto. We are at time we are committed. You say you want to speak because it's now the time for committee members.
Well, I'm happy to not speak, Chair, if you're deciding I shouldn't at this point, but I thought I would ask for that indulgence because it has a bearing on the sentence itself, but I'm happy to speak at a later stage if you prefer that I don't speak now.
Okay, let me hear you, advocate, so that we give honorable members to deliberate.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Before we adjourned, I had raised an objection about evidence being led from the bar and were criticized for not taking instructions as to whether we've got repeat offenders or not. And what is ironic is that Mr. Paso himself has not taken that instruction, which is why he couldn't answer the question. But we are to be penalized if we didn't do likewise. Be that as it may, has the process run properly and that evidence was led, and my clients had an opportunity to respond to an allegation of repeat offenders, then wouldn't have this misrepresentation of facts. We don't even have a record of them having been found guilty before. Because it is my instruction that Clang Nguyen has never offended and been found guilty before by this committee. My client, Mutweti, says they've never been convicted by this committee, yet they're labeled as repeat offenders here. And that is something that this committee will take into account and punish them. And again, I reiterate the problems we're having with the procedures in this committee. And I want to place that on record. They are not repeat offenders as alleged. And we couldn't put this to this committee because that allegation was never made when they were asked to testify. And insofar as them choosing to keep quiet and not apologize, again, had they been given an opportunity in terms of the rules to then make submissions in mitigation, they were not given the opportunity. We don't know whether they would have apologized at that point or not. The rules say they must be given the opportunity. It was not given to them, and they couldn't bring these facts to account because that opportunity was not given. I want to place that on record, Chairperson, and in your determination of the punishment, I restate they are not repeat offenders. Thank you, Chair. And just as a last... just as a last point, Chair, And I don't want to appear like I'm being difficult to the committee. We've had a problem where people are being misidentified, and Mkhonto being an example. We would have thought much better would be done in terms of verifying facts before they're presented before this committee. Because had that been done, we wouldn't be having issues surrounding Mkhwedi and Clang Nguyen MPs being accused of being repeat offenders. I again restate the difficulties with the process of this committee and how facts are verified, where people are hung on facts that do not exist. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Advocate Kasiboto. Honorable members, we've had the argument in mitigation and aggravation.
Apologies, Chair. May I also have an opportunity to have a second bite to the cherry? As my learned colleague was given.
Just because I gave Advocate Kasiboto, I will give you also, but this is the time I must reiterate for honorable members. I have given the legal team their time. Let's hear you, Advocate Magwana Dano.
Thank you, Madam. Yeah. Thank you, honorable Chair. I won't be long. Chair, to be fair, and for the honourable members at any stage, if they want to, we'll even provide these copies to my learned colleague for the defence to prove the alleged previous repeat offending by them. I will just give the numbers for the what is called before me Parliament of the Republic of South Africa announcements, tablings, and committee reports. Chair, I'm sure the honourable members are familiar with those. I have their numbers to save time. You will find a repeat offence by Honourable Tambo on meeting number, committee report number 171 of 2023, fifth session of the sixth Parliament. It is dated Friday, 1 December 2023. That is with regards to Honorable Tambo. You will find the repeat offense that I am referring to. With regards to Honorable Clang Nguyen, as I had mentioned then, she was referred to as Honorable Low. This is in the same committee report number 91 of 2014. No, it was a while back, perhaps that has been forgotten now. First session of the fifth parliament, dated Tuesday, 11 November 2014. And lastly, with regard to Honorable Montwedi, it is a committee report number 62 of 2021, the third session of the sixth parliament, dated Monday, 17 May 2021. It is on the powers and privileges reports that were submitted on these announcements that you would find the three previous offences that were imposed, as well as penalties imposed on the three members. Thank you, Chair. That's all I wanted to say. We're not creating this.
Thanks, Advocate. Honorable members, as I was saying, we have had the arguments in mitigation and aggravation and proposed penalties. Let's now deliberate on the appropriate penalties. I'm opening the floor to honorable members. The floor is open.
The hand of Deputy Chief Whip is up, Ms. Gakuda.
Honorable Gakuda. Honorable Gakuda, followed by Honorable Mlenzana, then Honorable Kaba, in that order.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My sincere apologies, I was struggling to unmute. Honorable Chairperson, let me start by dealing with an issue which I was accused of, that I was not in a meeting. I've been in a meeting since morning, and I was cut off when everyone else was cut off. I logged in again, so I was there from the beginning of the meeting. Thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson, I'm glad that the initiator pointed to the issue of the repeat offenders. I was going to talk to that because I do have the facts. Thank you very much to the initiator for presenting that to the committee. So I want to say that we support the penalties, the sanction as proposed by the initiator, that one, Mr. Tambo, Mr. Montwedi, and Ms. Ntlangwini, 30-day suspension without remuneration. Then two, Matumba, Honorable Matumba, Marais, Chirwa, and Matulelwa, a fine equivalent to 30-day salary. Three, Honorable Yako Mafanya, a fine equivalent to 15 days salary. These, honorable members, are the sanction befitting the violation, befitting the guilty charge of these members. They violated the rules and failed to obey the rules of the House and also the instruction of the presiding officers. Honorable Chairperson, if I may add to this, Honorable Chairperson, we are whips of political committee, of political parties. We have the Chief Whips Forum where we consult each other. And also, we always talk about the upholding the decorum of the House. So it cannot be that some of the members who are found guilty here are whips, and they know the rules of the House, that if you are not satisfied about any ruling of the presiding officer, you have another opportunity to take this matter up. Lastly, this issue of saying that this committee is made up of ANC members is neither here nor there. The committee is a multi-party committee. We'll keep on saying this until it sink in other people's heads that we are a multi-party committee of parliament, and we have a responsibility that is bestowed on us by the Powers and Privileges Act. So we cannot allow any disruption to the proceedings of the House to happen. If a matter is referred to this committee, we will deal with the matter accordingly. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Deputy, Honorable Mlenzana.
No, thanks, Chairperson. And I will try to avoid repeating those which have been raised by the Deputy Chief Whip, which were also my points, to try to cut for the benefit of time. Chairperson, let me start by saying, yes, Advocate Kasiboto, we know, is a legal representative and has to earn the dues that he has to get. Hence then, he has to try by all means to spin whatever. I'm starting here. In fact, before that, Chair, let me start by saying, fortunately, the manner in which I listened throughout the proceedings of this hearing, Advocate Kasiboto, while representing the affected members, was in fact, though unknowingly, saying to us, whatever the action or actions that were done by his clients were justified. And instead of him saying they were not guilty or are not guilty, he hammered or stressed on the fact that why were they behaving in the manner in which they behaved. My colleague in the morning indicated this, or early afternoon, that for us, the behavior of the speaker is neither here nor there, but we're more interested into the contempt of parliament that the members actually, engaged in. Now, let me come also to say, sorry for that, I was muted. Let me come back now to the second point, which I said I would come back for it. This one, which was somehow mitigation, while at the same time, I see it as negotiating through the barrel of a gun at the back of our ears, where Advocate Kasiboto has said more than three times that whatever we decide as this committee, he surely will be taking it for review, not unless we take what he says we should do. Hence, I then feel now that it was more of a threat to us, but we will not be threatened as such. Let me then pass on to say, I fully agree with the proposals as stipulated, 30 days suspension, a fine equivalent to 15 days. Stress also the question that it is important that there should be an apology, as Advocate Kasiboto indicated. Because, I listened carefully as was articulating his mitigating facts. He raised that his clients are prepared to apologize, which means his client and himself and the team are actually aware of the fact that the actions that took place on the 9th and 10th are actually worth apology. Hence, then, we have to stress that apology will welcome, and it has to happen as soon as possible, before in fact we arrive. So Chair, that I would raise, because I am also covered by this question of the repeat offense. I need not dwell much on that, and as I said, I will not go back to other issues which were raised by the Deputy Chief. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Lenzana. Honorable Kala.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I think we have heard how the matter set unfolded, but Chair, I think the issue that members also could not show any remorse, and the commotion in the House that happens to take place surely do affect the decorum of the House. And surely Parliament needs to give confidence to the public, and so that we entrust of all our South African citizens. The other thing, Chair, which I wanted to raise is I agree with the sanctions as proposed earlier by the Chief Whip and supported by Honorable Mlenzana. I also join myself in support, and also would urge members, even for future references, to understand the running and how the Parliament runs as honorable members, because we've got the legacy and education to teach to the incoming generation. I think, Chair, mine is to say I support the sanction as raised by the initiator. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kava. Honorable Tseke.
Thank you very much, Chair. Without wasting any time, I think Honorable Mlenzane has covered me with regard to the apology, which is supposed to be presented in the House by all the affected members. And I think in terms of the time frames, we have to be specific to say the apology to the President of the Republic of South Africa and to the Speaker of the National Assembly and to the people of South Africa, they must present it before the 29th of March this year. I think before the House rise on the 29th of March. And then on the issue of the three, I heard the Deputy Speaker has also spoken about them, on the two actually, Honorable Yako and Honorable Mafanya. I think the sanction, it's a fine equivalent to 15 days salary as it was presented by the our initiator. I think we are supporting that from where I'm seated. I think I'm covered, Chair, with regard to that. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Second. Is there any other honorable member I may have not recognized?
Honorable Chair?
Yes, Honorable Akudi.
My sincere apologies. I forgot to mention that the sanctions, other than the public apology in the House, the sanctions must start on the 1st of April 2024 to the 30th of April. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Dlakude. Is there any other honorable member? I'm checking my register. Looks like that was the last And honorable members, if I have captured you correctly, you said the penalty with respect to honorable Tambo is 30-day suspension without remuneration. Penalty with respect to honorable Montwedi, 30 days suspension without remuneration. Penalty with respect to honorable Ntlangwini is also 30 days suspension without remuneration. Then the penalty with respect to honorable Matumba is a fine equivalent to 30 days salary. The penalty with respect to honorable Mare, a fine equivalent to 30 days salary. The penalty with respect to honorable Chira is a fine equivalent to 30 days salary. The penalty with respect to honorable Matulelwa is a fine equivalent to 30 days salary. And with respect to honorable Yako, the penalty is equivalent to 15 days salary. And the penalty with respect to honorable Mafanya is also a fine equivalent to 15 days salary. And further, the committee is agreeing that all members must apologize physically to the president, the speaker, and the people of South Africa before parliament rise, that is by the 29th March, and all other sanctions must start from the 1st of April. Honorable members, I would therefore, having alluded to those penalties, request the support team to submit a draft report to the committee for its approval, which, if approved, it will be tabled in the House for consideration. At this point, honorable members, I would like to thank all the committee members for the work and time they had put on this matter. Our initiator and the legal representative of the affected members also for the selling work that they have done, including our support staff. This hearing is adjourned.
Recording stopped.
Long live Chairperson.
Thank you, and have a good afternoon, further.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.